Let's go ahead and let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Galatians. We're going to look at chapter 1, verses 6 through 10 this morning. I consider that maybe it is an appropriate passage for Mother's Day. It could be for Father's Day as well, or even the 4th of July. There's always these days that creep up, and we are tempted or sometimes encouraged, or maybe just because of the past, we expect that we should celebrate, maybe even worship those days or those focuses instead of Jesus. And not that we really do that, but sometimes we feel that pressure. And it's helpful to remember and to be reminded, what is our central focus in life as believers? What is our purpose of gathering here this morning? I mean, maybe we like to just get up and get dressed up and drive in the rain. But why is it that we gather together? And Paul reminds us in Galatians chapter 1. If you're there, follow along with me as I read verses 6 through 10. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Paul told Timothy in one of his last letters that the time would come when people would no longer want to hear the gospel, but instead would rather their ears be tickled and would want to hear all sorts of other things that would make them feel good. It's kind of curious that he said it was going to come, because it seems like that time has always been around. There's always that desire to hear something other than the gospel. When Paul first preached to the churches that are in the land that he refers to as Galatia, and I say that because Luke used different terms for that area. Paul focused on the Roman provincial names in his writings, whereas Luke kind of used the local places and descriptions. But when Paul was preaching there, he was sharing with them that there is grace through Jesus Christ. And he preached to them faith in Jesus. And it seems like after his first missionary journey, and when he went through those areas with Barnabas, and then he returned to Antioch and shared with the church there, sometime in that realm, other people came through these towns and these cities, and they were sharing different news. And they were adding to the gospel that Paul preached originally. Paul was saying that it was Jesus alone, that the passage that was read earlier, he proclaims in Acts chapter 13, let it be known to you, brothers, that through this man, Jesus, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. By him, everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. And it's curious. In all the different places that Paul preached, all the different ways that he described it, of the gospel and the desire to be that people would turn to Jesus and that they would be forgiven and saved from their sins. In those churches, he began, and that was in Antioch of Pisidian, he specifically took them from Egypt, talked about Moses is guiding the people and God raising up David, and then a descendant of David would come, and he brings in Jesus and talks about that Jesus is the one who has saved us, and it is through Jesus that everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. And he specifies the law of Moses. And what we'll discover as we go through the book of Galatians is the people who have come, as he says in verse 6, that the people in Galatia have deserted him who called them in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. He says not that there is one, but there are some who trouble you, who want to distort the gospel of Christ. There are people who have come through these towns who are encouraging the believers there that they need to be circumcised, that they need to follow the Mosaic law, that they it's not enough that they be saved through faith. They need to take on the practices of the nation of Israel. And so it seems like this is something that's happening in between Paul's first journey and the council in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15. Because he says that he's astonished that they are so quickly doing it, that they've just heard about Jesus and now they're deserting it already. They've just heard about this work that God is doing and now they're turning to a different understanding. Not truly a different gospel, because there's only one true gospel. It's not like there's lots of different ways to believe in Jesus or to believe what Jesus has done. There's only one thing that he has done. And if we distort it or change it in any way, we mess with the gospel. And that's what he says, that they distort the gospel and they trouble the believers. And that's what happens in our lives. When people take and add something to the gospel of Jesus Christ or they remove something from it, not only do they distort it, but they trouble us. And there are many ways that that happens these days, aren't there? I was driving in this morning, and I like to listen to, if I can, I like to listen to Ravi Zacharias on 100.7. I don't always get him. This morning, everybody was moving a little slow. Things were taking time in the morning. So by the time I was finally on my way, he was over. And so instead, I was on the classical station listening to a church in Dallas, and the pastor there was finishing up her sermon, and she was talking about that the purpose of every Christian, God's plan for us is that we would grow to know Him more and deepen our relationship with Him, and we would study and grow in our relationship. And I was sitting there thinking, you know, I understand what she's trying to say, but having prepared this message, of course, I was thinking, but that's not really it. When did Paul ever say God's true desire for us is that we would develop and deepen a relationship with Him? He never said it. Now, those are our modern terms. I realize that we talk about relationship. But what was His focus in Acts chapter 13? Forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins. Why did Jesus come on the earth? Yes, partly that we might know God better. Jesus says, "You have seen me, you have seen the Father." So if we know Jesus, we know the Father. He and the Father are one. He doesn't do anything that He does not first see the Father doing. And so, yeah, there's an element of it where to know Jesus is to know God, and to see Jesus is to see God, and the more we know about Jesus, the more we know about God. But if Jesus came to the earth and all He did was walk around and get to know everybody, and then He left, that would not have been a successful mission. Jesus healed people, and there's good things in the healing, and He fed 5,000, and He fed 4,000, and there's great stuff in that. But if he ceased there, would any of us be here today? Would we have any hope in life from Jesus' teachings, from Jesus' miracles? Where is our hope? Our hope is in the forgiveness of sins. Our hope, our focus is not just that we might know God and make Him known, but that we actually know the forgiveness of sins. That we have received the forgiveness of sins and the justification from all those things that the law of Moses could not justify us. That is That is truly the focus and the essence of the gospel. That through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and rose again, we have the forgiveness of our sins. Every one of us, down deep, knows that we are not perfect, that we do things wrong, that we do things at times with evil intent, that we are short-tempered, that we are bigoted, that we gossip, that we're selfish. If I haven't hit one of your things yet, I'll keep going. Hopefully it doesn't take long for us to recognize sin in our lives. Every single one of us has these. That was what Jesus came to forgive and to solve. That is the gospel that Paul preached. And his letter begins with wishing them grace and peace. He doesn't say anything good about them, unfortunately. Usually in his letters he says, I thank God all the times I think about you. I pray for you. I'm so blessed by you. He doesn't say any of that. With the Galatians, it's, I'm astonished. I'm flabbergasted that so quickly you have deserted him who called you. Who are they deserting? Not Paul. He's not upset that they left him. Not even really Jesus. How about this? To believe something other than the gospel of Jesus Christ as it was preached by Paul is to desert God. And that idea, desert, is the same word used to talk about how Enoch was taken away from the earth to another realm. It's the idea of taking from over here and putting it over there. It's the word used for traitors. When you were of this realm, but now you serve that realm. To desert is to betray. To go from one place to the other. And he says, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting God, who has called you in the grace of Christ. Not based on anything you've done, not based on how good you are, not based on how well you keep the Mosaic law, not based on how good your looks are, not based on how well you speak, not based on how fast you run or how nicely you drive, for no other reason than grace. Just His good pleasure. Just because He felt like it. Just because He granted it to you, He's called you. And instead, the Galatians, they're turning to a different gospel. Not that there is one, but there are those who trouble them and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Paul says this is such a serious issue that even if he or even an angel from heaven would come to the Galatians and preach to them a gospel contrary to the one he preached to them originally, even if Paul showed up and changed his story, and started preaching something different, he should be accursed. And anybody who would preach something different than the gospel they originally received should be accursed. And one of the things that we'll notice as we go through the letter of the Galatians, Paul may have his issues with the people who have shown up in Galatia and who are teaching all these contrary things, but he's not focused on them. It's the Galatians themselves, the individual believers and those churches that he planted, that he shared the gospel with, that are now turning from it. He's saying, even if I show up and teach the wrong thing, I should be accursed. You shouldn't turn away from the truth. And so it's on each one of those Galatian people, each one of those towns, each one of those churches, and each one of those individual believers. They're responsible for what they believe. They're responsible for who they listen to and who they follow. It's not so much the false teachers. We're always going to have false teachers. No, the real issue isn't the false teachers. It's the believers who listen to them. How can you, with the Holy Spirit, go after these false gospels? And yet we have that today. To a lesser degree, and it's not really a false gospel, but there are times when we are encouraged and led to worship other than Jesus on a Sunday morning. I haven't looked. I forgot to look to whether or not the 4th of July shows up on a Sunday. It's close there too, I know. If it's not. But it's going to happen. Sooner or later, the 4th of July shows up on a Sunday. So let me ask you, when the 4th of July shows up on a Sunday, what are we going to do? Are we going to celebrate our independence from England, or are we going to celebrate our independence in Jesus Christ? There's always that little bit of a push. Maybe we're not patriotic enough. Maybe we're not giving back to America enough if we don't celebrate it. The same thing, it's a struggle. It's Mother's Day, I recognize. But who are we to make more of today? Our mothers or Jesus? Have a great lunch this afternoon or dinner or do whatever you're going to do, but this morning let us worship Jesus. Same thing for Father's Day. It's easier to get away with it on Father's Day. Nobody gets as upset about ignoring fathers as they do mothers. But you know, those are just kind of cultural things. They're the fight between the church calendar and the Hallmark calendar. But there are false gospels in the world today. There are those who proclaim that Jesus Christ came to live and die that you might have a better life. Tell that to the Syrian Christians who took a final walk on a beach. Tell that to the Egyptian Christians who have had such barbarity committed against them that Muslims in Egypt are starting to say, hey, this is wrong. They were not necessarily given a better life by our standards. And yet we have false gospels that say that, you know, what God really wants for you is that you would be successful in your business. And what God really wants for you is that you would have more possessions. And that's funny because Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. Jesus said, you're either going to love the one and hate the other, or you're going to serve the one and despise the other, but you can't serve them both. And so we're either going to serve money and the desire to have wealth, or we're going to serve Jesus. But down deep, one of them's going to win. And the question is, who's going to win? And we can either serve health and prosperity, or we can serve the one who gave up the riches and the glories of heaven for our benefit. Now, which one sounds more like Jesus? And yet we have these false gospels. Those that add to it, they might say, yeah, Jesus died on the cross to forgive you for your sins, but then after that, you need to start doing the work. Are you doing enough? Are you giving enough? Are you serving in the right ways? We were talking about this just Wednesday night, that there is this attitude that we have developed in a lot of people, that they're not quite serving God well enough unless they're going into full-time ministry as a missionary or becoming a pastor in some way. That to be a dentist and to fix teeth well can't honor God the same way going on the mission field can. Or to be a mechanic and to fix engines isn't good enough for God, that you really need to go and learn another language and be able to share the gospel with some other people in the world. Now that's good, but it doesn't mean the other one isn't as well. But when we add these things to the gospel, what we do is we distort it and we trouble people. I can't imagine how many people there are today. I can't count how many there are today that don't feel like they're doing enough for God because of some false gospel that they've been taught. Probably well-meaning. Probably it wasn't intended to be false, but an addition to grace has been given to them, and because of that, they feel like in their life as they're living it, they're not doing enough for God. And we add on these ideas and these things, and we all get wrapped up into it, even us. It's one of my great struggles and as we look at our mission, if you look in the centerfold of our bulletin, building better lives. It's part of what we say our mission is. But maybe Jesus isn't calling you to a better life here on earth. Maybe he's calling you to suffer and to struggle in your faith. What about that? But we add on and we are troubled by these ideas. There are those that believe that, well, you know, if I take my kids to church, and if I do the right things with them, if they do the right things, maybe they sign a purity pledge, or they go to the youth group and they do this and that, that they're going to be okay. And then their kids end up pregnant before they're married, or they end up walking away from the faith, or they end up getting into some other trouble with narcotics. And the parent says, well, wait a minute, I did everything right. Why isn't God fulfilling his part of the bargain? And the problem was, is God never set that bargain. That we did, because we added things to it. And that's the problem Paul has here, is that the Galatians are listening to people who are adding to the gospel. That salvation by faith isn't enough. They've got to do something else. And we have oftentimes that attitude as well. But he says, any of that that we add to it, not only does it distort the gospel, not only does it trouble us, but it causes us to desert God. Because anytime we add to it, anytime we add that Jesus hasn't done enough, or what Jesus has done hasn't gone far enough, that we need to do something else, we diminish Jesus. Anytime we think, well, I've got to be better, we diminish him. And Paul did this too. Paul said, I've got a thorn in my fat flesh. I'd rather not have it. 3 times he prayed to God that he would remove it from him. I don't think it was bad eyesight. I think it was a thorn in the flesh. I think it was sin. I think it was a continual besetting sin that caused Paul shame. And he didn't want it in his life. Lots of us put up with physical ailments. A hand that goes numb when you do certain things. We were painting my brother and my sister-in-law's house yesterday, Amy's sister and her husband, and it wasn't 5 minutes into it, all of a sudden my thumb starts going numb. And I was like, yeah, I'm painting. I know when I'm painting something because my thumb and my hand go numb. I'm pretty sure it's God's way of telling me I'm not supposed to paint. I can't convince other people in my family that I'm not supposed to paint. So when I get to painting, my arm goes numb and I know I'm painting. Now I can still do it, but my arm goes numb and I just go along with it. I don't sit there and think this is a messenger from Satan. But I know my sin. I know those things that cause me great shame. And I know those things that make me feel like I don't have any part in what God is doing. I know those things that cause me to think I don't have any ability to speak on His behalf. And what Jesus said to Paul about those things were, my grace is sufficient. And that's the gospel message that Paul shared with the people in Galatia. That through Jesus, we receive justification for all those things that the law could not justify us. All those areas where the law condemns us, Jesus forgives and justifies us. To the point where Paul says in Romans, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's the gospel message. And we take that away and we say, you need to do better. You need to act better. You need to act stronger. You need to be more faithful. You need to pray more. You need to read your Bible more. You need to serve here more. That's not the gospel. The gospel is Jesus forgives. And that through Him, all those who believe and have faith in Him, He is able to justify all things. And so those things that are besetting among us that are sins that we aren't able to overcome, He has already overcome them. How dare we tell one another that what Jesus has done isn't enough, you need to do more. That's what the Galatians were being told. What's really terrible, though, is that they believed those new voices. Paul says, even if I were to say such a thing, even if an angel from heaven came and said such a thing, don't listen. That person should be accursed. Am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Am I trying to please man? If I am, I'm not a servant of God. Who are we trying to please? When a person comes and says, well, you need to do this thing or you need to do that thing, lots of times what we're really trying to do is please men. We're trying to please our fellow mankind around us. When we're trying to behave better, when we want to get rid of our sin on our own, is that because we're trying to please God or are we trying to please other human beings? The truth is we're trying to please other human beings. When I don't want to lash out in anger because I want you to think better of me, I'm trying to please you and me. I'm not trying to please God. No, I honor God when I acknowledge, yeah, I'm probably going to lash out in anger and I'm just going to have to ask for forgiveness again. And I'll work at it. You know, don't get me wrong. We're not just going to sit there and say, well, God's taking care of it. We're not going to care anymore. We still struggle with it. We still strive with it. And we hope that we overcome it in some point, but not through ourselves, through Jesus Christ who has already overcome. But who are we trying to please? Truth is, we're trying to please one another more than we're ever trying to please God. When we're trying to hide those things, and when we're trying to tell one another that we need to add certain things to the grace that Jesus has already given us, we're trying to please one another. Paul, it doesn't seem like it. He had great love for these people. He was worried about them. He cared for them. He comes in thunderous because he expects so much more. It's like a parent who can see another person's kid behaving in a certain way, and they might not like it, but they're not going to do anything about it. But their own kid, you better believe they're going to lock that down fast because they care about their own kid more. That's just the way it is. We care about our own more than we care about others. And I don't really have the ability to speak into that kid's life like I do my own kids. And so if I see that kid over there doing something, I can't do much about it. But I'm going to step in here. That's Paul with these Galatians. He's not so much worried about the ones that are coming and talking. He can't affect them very much. They're from a different tribe, you might say. But the believers in Galatia, he suffered for them. He was harassed by their cities. He was stoned in one of their cities. He cares about them. He doesn't just throw that away. And so he comes in harshly because he wants them to wake up and remember what God has done for them. And I want to encourage us in our lives. There are a lot of gospel messages out there today. I pray that we are able to see through what they are saying and figure out what it is really in the foundation level. What are they proclaiming? Sometimes it sounds really good, but if you stop and you think, okay, well, what are the implications of that? That sounds nice, but what's underlying it? Sometimes we discover what sounds good on the surface is detrimental to the true gospel on a foundational level. And Paul's desire for us, our desire for us should be that we would be able to tell what the true gospel is and that we would hold on to it. That it's not the behavior and the actions that we need to do. Our foundation and what we hold on to is that Jesus Christ died for us, that we might have forgiveness of sins. That's really where it counts. Nothing before that matters much, nothing after it matters much. What really matters is do we believe in Jesus who forgives us our sins and justifies us? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. Lord, we ask your forgiveness. There are times we do not intend to, but we add or distort your gospel. There are times when just through the way we try to explain it, we say something that we never intended to say, and we know it's something that you never said. And we ask your forgiveness. We also recognize, Lord, that there are times when we do willfully distort your gospel. And that there are those in the world today, for gain, for ease of reception, they change it. They distort it. We pray that we would not do this, but if we do, we ask your forgiveness. We pray, Lord, that we would preach the true gospel, that we would share it in our lives. Lord, so much of church culture and Christian culture in our country today is about behavior. And sometimes it's behavior that doesn't even need grace or the Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, instead of it being a focus on how good we are or how well we do all the things that we think we're supposed to do, may we communicate in our lives and through our lives that our hope is in Jesus, nothing else. That we are justified, not that we destroy the sin in ourselves, Lord, but that we accept your forgiveness. And in being with you and spending time with you, we see ourselves changing to be more like you. We pray, Lord, that we would seek to please you and not the people around us. We thank you for your message that you give us, your gospel through Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.